Our reading today is called Cultivating Trust as an Organizing Strategy by Adaku Yuta. Mycelium mushrooms have been one of my greatest teachers of trust. The word mycelium means more than one. The mycelium organism is a dynamic root system of mushrooms that utilizes trust as a mechanism to build and sustain a vast reciprocal underground network that connects the roots of trees and plants and skillfully shares nutrients and resources to support the health of the entire ecosystem with which it moves. This mycelial network cannot exist without trust. The mycelium communication highway recognizes and believes in the collective ability to channel and receive nutrients where needed, protect against parasites, and expand roots into necessary sites of growth. The network process also fosters intergenerational relationships that welcome the myriad of ancient wisdom and connections that reside in older trees to benefit younger trees. These mushrooms affirm a commitment to building relationships of trust that encourage all life to bloom, one that I aspire to embody more and more in my organizing practice. It takes courage to bring our trust forward and invite another person to meet us there. This sometimes sure, often shaky surrender is an opportunity to discover something deeper than the confines of our individual experience, a catalyst to grow beyond ourselves, to find the places where love can exist even when we are unsure of the destination, to embrace a kind of faith brave enough to yield a wider focus, often unseen, with a singular lens. Cultivating trust is an organizing strategy. It illuminates the distinct potential to generate meaningful communication, yield collaboration grounded in sustenance, bolster collective commitment, and acknowledge competence and worth. Trust intercepts blame and attack and invites care and compassion to take the lead. It takes the time to ensure that practices are aligned with values. In times of crisis, trust knows that you won't be intentionally hurt by comrades. It relies on our imagination's harvest and initiates possibility filled with hope and inspiration. It encourages us to delegate and share our work so imbalance dissolves and burnout fades. Trust invites us to come together for the sake of collective liberation.
Yeah.
morning, friends. I am so honored to be here with you all on this chilly post-inauguration Sunday. It's been a rough week, so I'm going to start us off with a little humor, even if it's a bit of a gallows humor. So I think we need that. So I saw a meme recently that perfectly summed up how I've been feeling the last few months, and especially how I've been feeling in this last week. So it's just a text on a background meme, but it starts with saying, "Me in history class. Wow, humanity has been through some fascinating times. I wonder if I'll ever live through major historical events." And it ends saying, "Me now. No, 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 I want to get off this ride. It was supposed to be space travel." So friends, we're living through some scary times that will no doubt be written about in history books for future generations to reflect back on and call fascinating. None of us signed up for this. We didn't hope to live through a resurgence of fascism across the globe. We didn't wish that our country would attack the very humanity of two-spirit, trans, and gender-expansive folks, or that we would threaten a person's ability to choose to have children or not. We didn't long for the very erosion of our democracy or the right to seek asylum. And we're living on a precipice right now. Although we may not have chosen this, we are living in fascinating, churning, important times. And in these times, we have to ask ourselves, who do we want to be? How can we live our values to the fullest? And what side of history do we want to be on? The next 4 years and beyond are going to be tough. I'm sure many of you, like me, are horrified by the last week's set of actions by this new administration, grieving the turn to the right our country has experienced, and worrying about what is going to happen next. Even before the election results were known in November, we knew that we had our work cut out for us as justice-loving people of faith. We knew that fascism was rising and that people were being harmed by systems of oppression. And we knew it wasn't going to be the politicians that were going to save us. Only we can save us. But how can we save us, you may be thinking. It's actually the same as it's always been, by living our values and being fully human with each other. In other words, the work we must do to save us is accompaniment. You see, fascism and systems of oppression want to convince us that we are all alone, that there is such a thing as the other, and that the other is scary. Fascism seeks to separate us, so that the only antidote to it is to come together. Accompaniment is the radical act of being with someone facing oppression, even when, and especially when, you don't know how it's going to turn out. To commit to being with them through the fear and the pain and the loss and the joy and the fun and the heartbreak and the singing and everything. It's a way of showing each other and the world that we are all in this together. What happens to one of us happens to all of us. Accompaniment can mean taking risks that you otherwise wouldn't have to in order to make sure that people have what they need, like gender-affirming care, access to abortion medications, or the ability not to be deported to an unsafe place. And although it seems on the face of things that that risk is for someone else, it's actually a risk you're taking for yourself, for your very soul, and for the world that we all want to live in. We as UUs have been accompanying and taking risks with those most affected by systems of oppression for a long time. During World War II, the Unitarian Service Committee, which was the predecessor to the UUSC, for which I work now, sent people to Europe to help dissidents escape the Nazis. One of those people was the Reverend Dr. Charles Rhind Joy, and he saw that many of the refugees fleeing Nazi persecution and coming into Portugal didn't have the documents necessary to cross borders. So he decided to start forging travel documents for people so that they could escape. And to make the paperwork look as official as other documents, they needed a seal. So he commissioned an artist and refugee, Hans Deutsch, to create one. And that seal was a chalice, the very symbol of our faith. So the chalice, which is around all of the walls of this beautiful sanctuary, is actually founded in our resistance to fascism and our commitment to liberation for all. And we've been seeing a rise in fascism across the country for a few years now. And now our federal government is fully weaponized against those most oppressed. So what will our accompaniment look like in today's crisis? What will be the risks we take to live our values? How does the chalice call us to respond in these times? Right now, UUSC is deeply involved in two forms of accompaniment. One through our CAPAS program, which stands for Community Accompaniment Program with Asylum Seekers, and the other through the Pink Haven Coalition, which works for trans liberation. Both programs are radical ways of living our UU values of justice, equity, transformation, pluralism, interdependence, and generosity, as our new value system, Article 2, lays them out, and as we all know, our JetPig, which I will say as many times as possible because it's my favorite. Working for justice means we covenant to dismantle racism and all forms of systemic oppression. Our migrant and trans beloveds are at the forefront of this struggle in our country. By accompanying them in these scary times, we're making the world a more just place, even when our government and systems are deeply, deeply unjust. Working for equity means we use our time, wisdom, attention, and money to build and sustain fully accessible and inclusive communities. When a congregation decides to say yes to the work of CAPAS or Pink Haven, we at UUSC work with you to create welcoming villages that model that sustainable, accessible, inclusive world we wish to see everywhere. Working for transformation means being open to change and understanding that we will never be complete and we will never be perfect. When you accompany someone, you will be changed radically, and you will become very aware that perfect was never and is never going to be an option. But love is always at the center and will help us move through the discomfort of growth. Working for pluralism means we covenant to learn from one another in our free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Accompaniment often means seeing someone who is very different from you as family. To learn from them and welcome them, even as you know they will change you and your community, because you know that the beloved community is diverse and beautiful. Working for interdependence means creating and nurturing sustainable relationships with the earth and all people, full of care, respect, mutuality, and justice. We know that none of us are free until all of us are free, so we resist fascism and oppression, even when it's not pointed directly at us, because we are all bound up together. Working for generosity means cultivating a spirit of gratitude and hope. Fascism and oppression wants us to stay in a scarcity mindset, but the reality is we have everything we need to care for ourselves and each other. This is the time, more than any other, to lean into generosity, to give what you can of your resources, your time, and your activism. As the newest iteration of our values, values that we've held dear for generations and that continue to evolve and grow through our living tradition, Article 2 also grounds us in the truth that at the center of all we do, of all those values, of all our actions, we must put love. And that is what accompaniment is, radical love that can and will change this world for the better. As we as a faith approve this new version of Article 2 and our values, we also pass the most radical, welcoming, and loving business resolution, such a weird thing to say, that I have ever seen any faith approve. We stated unequivocally that embracing transgender, non-binary, intersex, and gender-diverse people is a fundamental expression of UU values. This groundbreaking resolution calls us into action, which can include condemning and resisting all anti-trans legislation, partnering with local and state organizations led by trans, non-binary, and intersex people, amplifying campaigns for bodily autonomy, and supporting organizations like the Pink Haven Coalition. So first, you should know who we are and what we do at the Pink Haven Coalition. This coalition is led by trans organizers who saw what was happening in our country a few years ago and decided to take action to save their community. We are an interfaith and no-faith coalition with Quakers, Jews, Mennonites, the United Church of Christ, and more. We're exploring partnerships with mutual aid networks and anyone else who is saying, no, I won't let this happen, not on my watch. We're working together to create networks of safety and direct support for trans beloveds and their families who need to relocate, access healthcare across state lines, or stay as safe as possible where they are. And because of the safety concerns for these trans organizers and the people they are serving, we prioritize their safety and security above all, which is allowing us to move together in deep trust during these crucial, frightening times. This is why I'm not going to share the names of the organizers, any kin, or the trans-led organization that is leading us in this work. Instead, we came up with the stage name of Pink Haven Coalition so that we can talk about that. Please do share that name as you talk about this work as well. Acting in coalition together for trans liberation is a direct antidote to the rising fascism we see not only in the United States, but throughout the world right now. Whenever we resist fascism and injustice, we weaken them everywhere. Know that as you support our trans and gender expansive beloveds to not just survive, but thrive, you're also supporting all others that are targeted by fascism, and you're helping to heal the world from the sin of dehumanization and oppression. Here are three important ways you can get involved in this critical work and support trans liberation. First, get involved as a volunteer. People are moving, and they are coming to Washington, folks, because we are a relatively safe place, and we are always looking for people to be part of villages of support. We need hosts to offer space in their homes, and we need volunteers to provide support in navigating government programs, accessing healthcare, finding employment, and establishing social connections. By joining forces, we can provide a safer exodus and a welcoming community for those settling in our area. The second thing you can do is make a gift. These efforts to support our trans beloveds require financial resources. Your contributions will help us address the practical needs of those seeking sanctuary, respond to their immediate needs, and set them up for success in their new lives. The First Parish in Malden, Massachusetts, has generally offered to act as a fiscal sponsor for this work. Please know that all donations in their entirety are moving directly into the hands of trans-led organizers and being used to support trans and non-binary people in accessing the resources and support they need to survive and thrive. If you'd like to give, you can visit www.pinkhaven.org and click donate. Third, skill up. We are all in different places on our justice journeys. Some of us here are trans or gender expansive, and this is your lived reality. Others of us may be new to the wonderful world that awaits beyond the gender binary. For those of us who may not fully understand all the terms and complexities of gender and maybe worry about not knowing what to say or saying the wrong thing, you will say the wrong thing. We all will. I urge you to lean into your discomfort and support these individuals anyway. Know that you will say the wrong thing, you will make a mistake, hear it when you do, and make a different mistake next time. Explore resources that increase your competency in this area. Reach out to me if you need some ideas. Pretty much nothing would make me happier. So one important skill that we can all use in these times, whether we're focused on trans liberation, migrant justice, bodily autonomy, climate justice, any of the myriad ways that we get towards the beloved community, is keeping the vision of the world we want front and center. So as we move towards it, we can move towards it with love, even as things get hard. So I'm going to invite you into a brief visioning practice as I close out my message. I ask that you settle your body into a comfortable position. Maybe that means grounding your feet to the floor like the roots of a great oak tree. Maybe that means relaxing your head and letting your chin dip a bit down so your head is closer to your heart. Maybe it means something else. If you're comfortable doing so, close your eyes or soften your gaze. Take a deep breath in. And as you release your breath, notice your muscles. Are they clenched from worry? As you keep breathing, notice where the news that you've read this week has lodged in your body. Take another deep breath in, and as you release, try to unclench those muscles and release a little bit. Keep breathing. Now, as you keep going deeper into this relaxed state, imagine that we've made it. We are in the beloved community where there's no war and no poverty, no borders and no prisons. Justice, equity, transformation, pluralism, interdependence, and generosity are rampant, and love has suffused the world. Bring yourself into that future time when we have arrived and we are together. Notice all your senses that are being activated. They may be different for each of us. What do you see in your mind's eye? Does a sound come to you? Maybe there's a smell you're reminded of, or a taste. How does your body feel? Who's there with you? What are we doing together? Take a deep breath in as you continue to notice. Slowly breathe out. And as I invite you to come back to the present, bring something from that time with you. How did it make you feel? A sound, a vision, a touchstone to keep with you. My colleague and friend Angela Kelly taught me that practice many years ago, and it's had a profound impact on not just my mental health and my ability to stay in this work for the long haul, but also on how I do the work. I'm sure you know as well as I do that it's a lot easier being the person you want to be in this world when you're filled up with peace and possibility and hope rather than frustration and fear. And you see, when I imagine the beloved community, what I experience is a true community meal. Food plays a large part in my life. I love to feed people, I love to try new foods, and I love to connect with people over meals. This is a general trait in my family. We often return from vacations and spend the first hour of describing said vacation just talking about the food we ate. As I'm brought back to that place, that meal, when I do this practice, I know that the food we're sharing tastes like the joy of knowing that no one is hungry. That the laughter I hear sounds like true liberation, a type of laughter that can only be heard when no one is behind bars. And that the people I'm with feel like home because I know everyone else in the world has shelter. That is what I'm working towards. And just talking about it with you fills me with a sense of peace. I miss that world, even though I've never physically been there. So when I'm struggling with all the injustices in the world and feeling overwhelmed and like I have to respond to all of them or feeling like nothing I do will ever make a difference, I go back to that place. I let it wash over me and I ask myself, what will get me closer to that world? How am I different when I am in that place? And how can I start living that way in the here and now? What is my work to do? The work that combines my passions and my skills that gets us closer to the beloved community. And my answer is sacred solidarity through accompaniment. And I hope you join me in whatever way you feel called, whether it's through UUSC's accompaniment programs, or accompanying each other in this work, or any other justice effort. We are all in this together. And we need to keep our eye on the prize towards what we are building. Amen. Ashe. Let it be so. And let's get to work.